Okay, so it's been a couple of weeks. I'm still kind of fighting that sinus infection thing. Fun times. So yeah, you don't want to have to hear that. It's been messy. But just like I promised, the episode about Providence, about in Rhode Island, is here, and my daughter picked out the topic. So kudos to my spawn. And if you've never thought about Providence, Rhode Island, you're probably not alone. Providence is the smallest, Rhode Island is the smallest state in the Union, and if you're not in the Northeast, and New England in particular, this tiny little state probably doesn't stick out much for you. If you've seen, I think the movie is High Society, that takes place in Newport. It's a very old movie, but it's got Frank Sinatra in it, which is pretty awesome. My spawn has just stuck her face in the room, kind of sideways. Now she's singing The Room Where It Happens by Hamilton. She's waving. You can come in. She's stealing my crown from Halloween. If you're into college basketball, you've probably heard of Providence. If you're into the horror or science fiction genres, you've definitely heard of Providence. H.P. Lovecraft, to whom both genres owe a huge debt, was a native of Providence and was so identified with the place his tombstone reads, "I am Providence." Of course, good old Howard Philip is kind of a problematic figure, and making statements like that is probably a good indication of why. But Lovecraft is creepy and New England enough to get his own episode, and we'll come back to him another time. I first experienced Providence as an 18-year-old girl, many years ago. I'm not going to tell you how many. Heading south on a Peter Pan bus to visit a friend from back home. I knew I was in for a treat. Providence had a reputation already. According to my friend, I was going to pass under a relatively new bridge, and according to her, every fourth pylon in that bridge is, occupied. You know, to a teenager who comes from a town with a certain reputation for violence, it could be legit. A little research into structural engineering suggests sticking dead people into new cement pylons would do bad things for the stability of said bridge. But, what's common sense in the face of a good story, right? There was a lot said about Providence in those days, and some of it might have even been true. Providence has given me a lot over the years. I never thought it would give me a ghost story. I'm Jay, and this is New England Gothic. When I said I didn't think Providence would give me a ghost story, I wasn't entirely truthful. Providence is creepy as hell. I've heard stories ever since I moved to New England about things people have found, seen, or heard in old abandoned hospitals, buildings, or tunnels. They didn't choose to bring pictures. That's not something people usually do when they're shooting the shit over a campfire. But I've heard enough over the years to know that it's not someplace that's exactly warm and fuzzy, no matter how many urban renewal programs pop up. I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest. I'm guessing that you probably wouldn't either, or else you wouldn't be here listening to this. What I did not expect was for the big ghost story, the documented ghost story, to be City Hall. I've seen pictures of City Hall, and it's a stunning building, completed in 1878 and painstakingly rehabbed in 1975, the place is a work of art. It's not the kind of place one would normally associate with civil service. But hey, this is Providence and nothing is ever what it seems to be on the surface. And who said government buildings had to be soul-crushing servings of bland, topped by eye-scarring color combinations anyway? Thank you, Mayor Cianci, for the rehab. But ghosts? Aren't ghosts usually born from trauma? There wasn't any big municipal trauma in Providence after 1878 to cause the haunting, was there? Not that would actually involve the literal seat of government. I mean, it's not like this was a building that was repurposed. You know, the old meeting house where Roger Williams himself, you know, cast out my ancestor for being too big of a jerk even for Providence. No, that's not what happened. You know, this was built as a brand new building for bureaucracy. It's not like it's the spirit of boredom and red tape. Research concurred with my conclusion. Did I really write that down and expect myself to say it? Research concurred with my conclusion. Plenty of things happened in Providence, sure, and we'll get to that. But the building wasn't, you know, the site of some big disaster. Nor was it haunted by the spirits of the 12 men who died during construction. Although even those deaths were only cited in one article that I could find. I couldn't find names for any of them, by the way, or else I'd mention them here, because, you know, that should be honored. From a very early point in the building's history, workers have claimed to see elevators moving on their own, along with furniture, you know, flickering lights, and the scent of a specific type of cigar. It's the cigar that proved the identity of the ghost, actually. The ghost is, according to most people, the spirit of the mayor who oversaw construction of City Hall, Mayor Thomas A. Doyle. Now, it might sound a little strange to have a mayor haunting City Hall, but work with me here. According to most sources, Mayor Doyle was absolutely adored by the people of Providence. He was mayor for 18 years, not consecutive, the most time in the position until Buddy Cianci served, also not consecutive. Doyle was also the only mayor to lie in state in City Hall until the same honor was granted to Buddy Cianci. You see where I'm going with this. Both Cianci and Doyle did a lot for Providence. If you've ever been to Roger Williams Park, or the zoo that's part of the park, you've enjoyed part of Mayor Doyle's legacy. Doyle brought public water to Providence. He expanded the school system, created a sewer system, and introduced a uniformed police force. That uniform is important. Apparently there were police, but they didn't wear uniforms. And we've all seen how tricky it can be when you can't identify who the police are. His eulogists claimed he was completely free from any taint of corruption. I find it difficult to believe that anyone could serve in office that long, especially the same office, and not have some hint of, you know, malarkey clinging to them. But his record is... But no record is easily found of corruption or kickbacks or any of those fun things. So why haunt the place? You know, it's not like he died traumatically. I mean, he did die in office, but he died from a stroke. He didn't die in the building. He died at home. So why is he there? You know, he wasn't murdered. The building didn't fall on him. One source claims he's buried on the property. Most other sources have him buried at Swan Point, the same cemetery where other Providence luminaries, such as H.P. Lovecraft, rest. And if we weren't in a pandemic, I could go to Swan Point and wander around and find him. But we're not supposed to be going to Rhode Island right now. Anyway, I can see where the legend would pop up and be believable. You know, our guy was pretty attached to the city and extremely attached to the job. So attached to stick around into the afterlife, though? I mean, you know, I've been pretty attached to some jobs in the past, but that doesn't mean I want to spend the rest of eternity doing them. This Doyle guy, though, maybe. The stories might be apocryphal, given the circumstances, but apparently Doyle had strong views about his visions for the city, and absolutely nothing was going to get in his way. He had contentious relationships with the city council, the governor, department heads, old guard. If you look into Mayor Curley back in Boston, who we talked about last time, it was kind of similar, although without the rumors about his habits. Anyone who thought that they knew better than he did how to run the city or what to do with the city's money, he had a very difficult relationship with them. And I could see where, his agenda seems to have gone through at the end of the day, no matter what any of these obstacles thought about it. No matter what the damage to Providence's financial records might be. Financial statements, I should say, because, the records seem to be fine, just ugly, because he ran up a ton of debt. But, what's debt when you're putting in water and sewer so that people don't get the cholera and die? I mean, I can't fault him for that. So I can definitely see where someone who had this kind of drive and this need to make sure that what he said go. Would kind of be unwilling to give it up after passing between the worlds. And I can also see where he might have some concerns giving who he's had to share his honors with. The other longest serving mayor, the other only mayor to lie in state. Well, you know. Another colorful New England character. Also, Doyle had the best smutton chops I have ever seen on a public figure. If you go on the internet and look for this guy, they're sentient creatures of their very own. Oh my God, you've got to see them. Have reservations on the show when I bring up people who existed within living memory, and Buddy Cianci is no exception. Mayor Cianci was the mayor when I was born. He was the mayor when I moved to New England. He is one of those guys who almost seems like a stock character in a story about New England. He was one of the most colorful figures in living New England history. He's like a legend. He was mayor of Providence, and he was forced to resign from his position as mayor twice because of felony convictions while in office. You know, these are not things that he did before ascending to office. These are things that he did while he was in office, crimes he committed in office. One of them was an assault. He beat up a guy he believed was sleeping with his wife. Both the victim and the wife deny it. You know, not my circus, not my monkeys. I don't know. When you're the mayor, you should probably not do these things no matter what. The other one was for, very bad things. I'm sorry, it's not funny. It's just, you know. He also rehabilitated City Hall. He redeveloped Providence into a city that was really known for arts and entertainment. While he was rumored to have had ties to organized crime, and as I mentioned, those rumors made it as far as me, even though I was a teenager from out of state, he got his start in politics as an Italian-American who was helping to fight the mob, specifically the Patriarca crime family, at a time when certain extremely powerful or popular films were kind of giving all of us a bad name. You know which ones I'm talking about. Honestly, I've kind of had a love-hate relationship with Mayor Cianci ever since I came to New England. The things he was convicted of were pretty sketchy, and there were times when I just kind of shook my head and was just like, way to live a stereotype, buddy. At the same time, he really did seem to love Providence, and he did a lot of good for the people there. You know, I could see Providence changing and adapting every time I went there. Although the fundamental character of Providence remained. I came from a city where the necessary changes, the evolution, didn't happen, didn't take hold. You know, and it's a very stark difference. So I appreciate all of the work that it took to help Providence adapt to a new and different world, a new century. And, you know, there are a lot of similarities between Cianci and Mayor Doyle, even if there are some notable differences. And hey, both Cianci and Doyle loved that building. I mean, have you seen it? Who wouldn't? I can't help but think that they wouldn't get along, all things considered. But if they are stuck together, I wouldn't be surprised if they found some common ground, too. Again, I kind of feel a little bit weird about getting into this part, but, you know, we've already gotten into some of the rumors about Buddy Cianci and, about Providence, so it's not exactly a secret that for a while organized crime was a major thing in Providence. I'm side-eyeing the hell out of a fandom wiki for the Mafia, though. That's just weird. It's kind of tasteless. Really? Come on. So, as I mentioned, Buddy Cianci got his start in politics, started building his name as an Italian-American prosecutor helping to fight back against the Mafia. And who do you think he was going after? He was going after... he first came to prominence working on a case against Raymond Patriarca Sr. The team Cianci was on lost their case, but it does show their paths crossing. And Patriarca was a major figure in New England organized crime. This is not a secret. This is documented history. You can look at the court records. Patriarca supposedly ran half of New England from a coin-operated laundry on Federal Hill. I'm not saying he did or didn't. What I'm saying is that it does seem a little bit strange to me that something like that would be common knowledge when the feds are still prosecuting people for involvement with the family. I'm certainly no organized crime expert. It does seem a little indiscreet on all sides. But it's also been a long time, and he is certainly well beyond being prosecuted. Anyway, I found a great article that talked about some kind of an arrangement between the family and police to kind of restrain violence related to organized crime activity on Federal Hill, you know, to keep it from spilling out onto the streets, onto, you know, out to unrelated people, which would have been bad for business for everybody, you know. It was a fascinating article, and it came with a slideshow about a history of violence on Federal Hill. That deal only applied to the family during its heyday, though, and once they no longer had the sheriff power that they had, the deal seems to have fallen through. Federal Hill is only about a mile from City Hall, which is the other reason that it's as relevant as it is to this show. Like most cities in New England, Providence doesn't exactly sprawl. It's compact, and you can get from one place to another very quickly. I couldn't speak to whether or not any of the spectral activity in City Hall relates to any of the activity from the 40s through the 70s. Maybe the 30s through the 70s. On the big ghost shows on TV, they don't seem to think that a mile is a significant barrier to activity happening in a location. But most of the time on those shows, that mile consists of corn and maybe a cow or two. New England cities are a bit different, and a mile can take you an hour to drive if you happen to catch it on a bad day. A mile can take you from the richest part of town to the poorest, and it can take you through three different ethnically segregated neighborhoods. So it could be very different. It could be the same. I don't know. I'm not about to get them to shut down City Hall so that I can go and ask the dead. Can you imagine? especially during a pandemic. Yeah. I crack myself up sometimes. So that's City Hall. Providence City Hall. It's a... I would personally not have picked a purpose-built government building to haunt. But, you know what? People get attached. You know? And it just goes to show you that even the bureaucratic structures in Providence have a creepy history of their own. Come back next time and we'll trip on over to Connecticut and see what they have to show us.